Let's do it. Okay, Sichos Haran Os Ayin Ches, number 78. Okay, I would like to dedicate today's shiur to the Iluy Neshama of my grandmother, my mother's mother, whose yahrzeit is today, Shendel Perel Bas Reb Meisha. Zuchusi again Aleno. Yima Shendel's memory should protect us all. Okay, so let's see. Says Rabbi Nachman, "Bechol makom yesh yosher." In all places, there's a sense of yosher. I don't want to translate the word yosher. Dana, what does it say on that one?
Fairness.
It's a good word. In all places, there's a sense of fairness. What we're going to learn is that even the biggest villain, even the most evil person, even an individual who's willing to do certain things, everyone, the way that every human being was created, I'm not talking about Jews. Every human being was created with a sense of fairness. Which means at a certain point, a sense of yashrus kicks in. Even if you're a murderer, even if you're a thief, at a certain point, there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu implanted within every human being a sense of yashrus, of fairness. Obviously, the Jewish people, Yisrael, are yashar kel, are straight to Hashem, the most direct connection. Right? Chumash is called, Sefer Bereishis. Chumash sometimes in its entirety is called the Sefer HaYashar. So obviously we have a unique connection to this yashrus. But says Rabbi Nachman, there's a sense of yashrus that permeates all of reality. And if it sometimes hides itself, eventually it breaks through. You're going to see a very interesting example. Afilu misha osa kol ha'avlos, even a person who does all sorts of negative or evil things. Afal pichein behechreyach yimotze bo eza yosher. Nonetheless, it's of necessity, behechreyach, eventually you'll find within him a sense of yosher. Now, the goal here is not to be malamid zchus on Rishon. At least that's not my goal or our goal right now. So I don't want to point out the fine qualities of the Paros and the Hamans and the Hitlers, yimach shemam, of the world. But even in the most evil people, there's some degree of yashrus. Sometimes it's buried very deep. But he says, Rabbi Nachman says, afal pichein, eventually there's going to be a sense of fairness that breaks through. And that's really important because sometimes we feel that, you know, there's certain things in the world that are not fair, that are not just. But if you wait long enough, is sort of the yesod, eventually things will work themselves out. The score will be evened over the course of time. Rak sheyesh chiluk bein b'nei adam masai maschil ha'yosher. But there's a big distinction between different people. When does that sense of fairness begin? So some people have to do a lot of wrong things before they finally start to feel bad and revert to a sense of yosher. Sheyesh b'nei adam shay yosher maschil etzlo tekaf. There are some people who that midah of yashrus emerges immediately. They're always very balanced, they're always very fair. The way that they interact with others, the way that they judge themselves, the way that they relate to God, they have a sense of yashrus, a sense of genuine fairness. And there are other people who it takes them a while to start to extract that sense of yashrus. They're not always so fair. They're actually sometimes very deceptive or very dishonest. But Rabbi Nachman's point is if you dig deep enough, it's the nature of a human being to have an inherent sense of fairness, an inherent sense of doing what's right. So there's individuals who, they don't start off right away with a sense of yashrus, but acher she'osa avla, it's only after they do something negative that they feel bad afterwards. Where does that regret come from? It comes from an inherent sense of goodness, of fairness that human beings have. And there are some people who delay that sense of fairness even further. Some people mistreat this one, and mistreat that one, and mistreat the next one, and then finally, they start to feel so guilty or so bad, or something awakens within them that inherent goodness emerges, and they treat the next person fairly. So why did the last three people you treated poorly? You have to dig out that yashrus. V'chein yesha maschil etzlam bi'ichor yoser v'yoser. Some people, much, much later. Right? There are individuals who are cruel and evil for a long, long time. And eventually there's some some sort of breakthrough. Again, I don't want to try to be malamei tzchus on wicked individuals, but we could think of examples. We could think of people, right, in history, in world history, in Jewish history, who sometimes acted in a very corrupt and evil way, until finally there was some sort of breakthrough, something changed. Right? Something clicked, something changed. And that sense of yashrus broke. Yeah, you can think about Achashverosh. Achashverosh was all over the place in terms of his emotional spectrum, right? But Achashverosh at times was very fair, right? There was a sense of fairness, right? Sometimes the fairness itself is a perversion. Talk about the Asar Haruge Malchus, the 10 great rabbinic martyrs who died as payback, right, for what the brothers did to Yosef HaTzadik. Done out of a sense of righting the wrong. Right? Maybe that was a perversion of Yashrus. But there's a sense of fairness in the world. There's this overarching sense of fairness, and with different people it emerges at different stages, different times. And even if it delays greatly, says Rabbi Nachman in the last line of the first paragraph, Aval af al pi chein yimotze gam bo eze yosher. Even one who delays greatly eventually will revert to a state of balance, of fairness, rakshuhu ma'uchar harbe. And again, this is a nice continuation of what we learned yesterday, where the world is filled with strife and machlokas and war. But eventually, the punchline is that there's going to be shalom in the world. Lo yareyu v'lo yashchisu. Eventually, kimala aretz deas Hashem, an awareness of God will permeate all reality, and there'll be a sense of shalom. Shalom means balance. Balance means fairness. So even a person who sometimes acts in a very corrupted way eventually will come back to that inner core that Hashem has implanted within everyone. Hashem is Yashar, and therefore it's implanted within every human being, Jewish or not, very righteous or very far from righteousness. Everyone has that inherent sense of Yosher that eventually emerges. Yes, Azi, what would you like to say?
Who is the Rav in the Gemara who started off as a
Reish Lakish. Yeah, Reish Lakish is one example of someone who turned his life around, who went from being someone who took advantage of other people to becoming an inspired teacher. Rabbi Kiva also. Again, that's part of what we're going to learn today, right? The secret, again, which we've been talking about a lot, but the secret of channeling some of those negative kochos, like we learned yesterday, to channel it in the right direction. Yeah. Both. I think both. I think it's the regret that comes, it's the sense of charata that a person feels after doing the wrong thing. Right? Where does that guilty feeling even come from? It comes from an inherent yashra. So yes, I think part of it's tshuva. Right? And what did you say? What was the
mercy?
Right, and part of it's right. Part of it's having mercy in the moment not to do the wrong thing. It's not that I do the negative thing and then I feel bad. That's one element of yashras. The other element, as he's going to give an example in a second, is that because I sometimes did the wrong things, eventually that sense of fairness emerges, and I can't even do the wrong thing anymore. I have mercy on the next person. Again, just for example, not to be malamid tzchus on Nazis, yimach shemam, but we all know stories of people who murdered and murdered and murdered and murdered and murdered, and for some strange reason, right, they let one person live. They let one person go. For whatever reason, the Nazi was so cruel and merciless, all of a sudden, in a moment of mercy, says, okay, I'll look the other way, run. What? Where does that come from? How could that be? I'll tell you a story about the Chacham Tzvi's father, I think. There's a biography about the Chacham Tzvi called Toldos Rav Tzvi Ashkenazi, the Chacham Tzvi. About his father or grandfather. He said There was crusades, pogroms, whatever you want to call it, and they were killing Jews, literally lining up Jews, and they were chopping off their heads. There was an executioner who was chopping their heads off. And he said he was online. The Chacham Tzvi's father or grandfather was online to be killed. And he told this story to highlight, in the most literal sense, the Gemara's statement in Maseches Brachos on Daf Yud, where the Gemara says what? That even if your head is literally on the chopping block, never give up hope. Right? Never give up hope. Afilu cherev, even if the cherev is munachas al tzavaro, even if it's resting on your tzavar. Remember that word from yesterday? Haposeach beis al tzavar. If you open the neck hole of a shirt. Right? If you, even if the sword is on your neck, Right? Even if the sword is on your neck, a person should never give up hope. So the Chacham Tzvi, either father or grandfather, I don't remember, was online to get his head chopped off, literally. And he gets to the spot where the executioner, this bloodthirsty executioner, is killing Jew after Jew after Jew. And for whatever reason, as he's about to execute him, he looks at him and he says, "You're so young, it's such a waste." And he says, "What we'll do is," he whispers to him, he says, "I'm gonna swing my sword or my axe, whatever. I'm gonna miss on purpose, and I want you to just like to fall over to the side, and then I'll kick you onto the pile of all the dead bodies, and then if you can survive, you know, you can escape later." What? Well, why? Where was that Rachmanis coming from? That's what he did. He spared him. He pretended to execute him, he pretended to swing the sword at him, and then he, you know, hit him with the blunt end of the sword, knocked him into the pit with all the other dead bodies, Lalalenu, and he was able to hide there for several hours and to escape after nightfall. Chacham Tzvi, Rav Yaakov Emden, very great tzaddikim came from that line. Right, so where did that sense, where does a bloodthirsty executioner all of a sudden decide, chaval, how could I spill such, you know, such innocent blood? What? You just murdered 100 people, 1,000 people. But there's a sense of yashrus that eventually breaks through. And that's a very powerful thing. Okay, so says Rabbi Nachman, I'll give you an example that I saw with my own eyes. Kigon mashal, kigon la mashal. As an example, not a mashal in the sense that it's not a true story, a mashal as an example. Shaya maisa shira'isi bekvar. I once saw the following thing happen in a little village, I don't know, somewhere in Ukraine. Shaba ish chayil vitziva shiyitnu lo hasusim ala pachd. A soldier came and he said to the villagers, he said, I need your horses. I need to take your horses. Why are you taking our horses? For the pachd. What's the pachd? Markeves hadawar. For the mail service. I don't know how mail worked back then. I don't know how often people were getting mail. Right? But we need a horse to deliver packages. So I'm here, an officer, government orders. I'm here to seize your horses because we need it for government matters, for mail delivery, for package delivery. And these people, Jews, I don't even know if they were Jews. The people of that village, shichadu oso b'mamon. And they said, "No, please don't steal our horses. We need it for our own parnasa." And they bribed him with money. Shichadu oso b'mamon. They bribed him with money. V'acher kach b'sheni, a second officer came. V'heisis oso harishon, shikach gam ken asusim. So the first guy said, "Hey, I made easy money off this, you know, off these villagers by telling them I'm here on government orders to take their horses, and they paid me off. So go make some easy money off of them." All right, so he goes and he says, "All right, I'm here on government orders. I need to collect the horses. We need it for mail delivery." V'shichadu oso gamken. What happened? They had to bribe the second officer. V'acher kach b'shlishi. A third officer came. V'yitzarech be'emes susim alapached. And the third officer was actually sent by his higher ranking official to go get horses for mail delivery. So he comes to the town. V'rotza gamken likach hasusim. He says, "I need the horses." And Nebuch, these poor villagers are ready to bribe him, but he's like, "I'm not taking bribes. I need the horses. I'm here on official business. I need to bring back the horses, whether you like it or not." So now, we already paid twice to keep our horses. Now you're going to take our horses. So what did they do? Holach habal kfar, the head of this village went, v'ischani lifnei arishon, he went to the first officer, shayadon, he was, a higher ranking officer, shayani chayo, and he said to him, "This isn't fair. The whole thing wasn't fair. Right, I'm a crook. Of course it's not fair. I did this so I can steal your money." But he goes and he says, "Not fair. We paid once, we paid twice, and now you're still going to take the horses. Leave us alone. Yani chayu, let us go. It's not fair." Va'ata nasalo panim. Va'ata nasalo panim ma'ish chayel arishon. V'tziva la'anicho. So he said, you know, it's not right. So he found favor in his eyes, and he let them go. Right? And then they didn't take the horses. He told the third guy, "Okay, you can't take the horses. Go find another village to take the horses from. It wouldn't be fair to take from this chevra. They already bribed us twice. It's not fair." Right? They said it's not fair, and it found the nesias panim. He found favor in their eyes. It was a reasonable You know what? That's very fair. That's reasonable. So says Rabbi Nachman, isn't that interesting? Nimtza she'etzel zeh gazlan ha'ish chayel harishon. This thief, this person, the first officer who was a thief, hischil ha'yosher achar she'asa shtei avlos. When did his sense of fairness begin? After he took advantage of them once, and he encouraged someone else to take advantage of them the second time. It was after two offenses, by the third offense, he said, it's not right, it's not fair. Wasn't fair the first time. Most of us say it wasn't fair the first time. But for him, that sense of yashrus emerged after two offenses, after two avlos, after two evil acts. After two offenses, he said, it's not fair anymore, leave these poor villagers alone. Ki afal pishahaya gazlan. Even though he was a bad dude, and he did bad things, right? He's a bad guy. But once he committed this crime once and twice, afal pichein pam shlishes hischil hayosher etzlo. But that inherent sense of goodness broke through on the third time, v'hochrach la'anicho, and almost against his will, by force, he had no choice other than to leave them alone, because there's an inherent goodness within a person. It emerges with different people at different stages, but it's there. Nimsa shebachol makom, so says Rabbi Nachman, nimsa shebachol makom yesh yosher. There's always a sense of yosher. Rak sha'achiluk masai maschila yosher kenizkar le'el. The only distinction is, when does that sense of fairness begin? And different people have a different temperament to determine when that sense of fairness begins. And then he ends the piece in that small little paragraph. He says, and this is what we find alluded to in the Zohar. And this is what I want to just elaborate upon together for a couple of minutes. V'zeh b'chinas ma'shekosu b'zohar kadosh. Says Rabbeinu, says Rabbi Nachman, this is the inyan that we find in the Zohar. We're so used to it. It's such an important perspective, chaver, because nothing's black and white. Nothing's kulo evil. Nothing's kulo midas hadin. Right? Rabbi Nachman is teaching us that even in the most evil person, eventually there's going to be that point of breakthrough where the person says, Ad kan, from this point forward, I'm an erelich person, I'm an ish yasher. Right? Again, by the Jewish people, we have to get there faster. It's our name, Yisrael. We have to be more yashar. But the Zohar says, we should realize that what? Shegam besitro desmola yesh yamin usmo. We talk about the right side, which is the side of chesed, typically the side of goodness, of sweetness, of kindness, of love. We talk about the left side, which is gvura, midas hadin, yira, pachad, negativity. But says the Zohar, a very deep thing. The Zohar says that even the sitra de smola, which means what? What's sitra? The side. The sitra de smola, the left side, also has yesh yamin usmo. Also has what? Right and left. The left side, so to speak, the sitra achra, the negative side, also has what? Has Boker Tov. Has a right side and a left side. Within the negativity, there's more intense negativity, right? Left sheba left. But then there's also right sheba left. Right? There's right sheba left. Rak sheyamin shelahem rochuk harbe afilu mismol shel kedusha. The right side, listen carefully, the right side of the left side is much farther away than the left side of the right side. Again, if we picture, so to speak, the right side as the tzad of Kedusha, and the left side as the tzad of Tumah, of unholiness. So within the right and within the left, there's also a right and a left within the right. And there's also a right and a left within the left. So the right side, so to speak, the good side of negativity is still much more evil than, so to speak, the bad side, the left side of the good side, of the side of chesed. But it's still there. The point Rabbi Nachman is making, the point the Zohar is making, is that even within the left, even within Midas Adin, even within Yira, even within Gvura, right, even within the Achashverosh and the Paro and the Haman, there is a sense of Yosha. There's something good. There's something that can be extracted from there. So a million times over, Al Achas, Kama, Vakama, Vakama, Vakama. A havdil, an infinite amount of havdalos. When we talk about that which is kadosh, we talk about a yid. It could be the worst yid, but a yid is memela. A yid is coming from the tzad of kedusha. So even the worst Jew, right, so to speak, even the worst Jew still has a greater sense of yashrus right? Than the greatest bit of holiness that comes from the evil side. So look at the words again. The Zohar says, "Gam besitra d'smol yeshaminu smol." Even the left side has within itself a right side and a left side within the left side. Rakshi yamin shalhem, but the right of the left, meaning the positive qualities within negativity, the goodness that emerges from the evil is rachu karbe, is very very distant. Afilu mismol shel kedusha, is very very distant. You got? Is very very distant. Is very very far from what? From the left side of kedusha. Nimsa shagam asitra achra yesh yamin b'chinas yosher. So says Rabbi Nachman, what's my point? My point is that even the sitra achra means the other side, the dark side, right? The lowly side, the unholy side. Even that side also has a sense of yamin, a sense of right side, a sense of yashrus, a sense of honesty, of fairness. Raksha min v'ayosher shalahem maschil me'uchar ma'od. But that sense of goodness is delayed very, very greatly. It'll be a lot of evil and more negativity and more negativity until eventually there's going to be what? There's going to be a tikkun. That even the biggest rishayim, in some sense, far down the road, are going to get a tikkun because deep down inside they too have an inherent sense of yashrus. Okay, but it's very, very far away. Afilu min ha'smol shel kedusha. Even very, very far. The right side, the good side of evil, is very, very far away on the bad side of goodness, so to speak. Okay? Let's elaborate on this idea. There was a great Yid, one of the really early pioneers in America of teaching Rabbeinu's Torah, teaching Rabbi Nachman's Torah, Ratzvi Aryeh Rosenfeld. Rabbi Shlomo Katz, the teacher and musician from Eretz Yisrael, so he put out a couple of beautiful volumes called Rabbi Nachman's Soul on Sisaran in English, with a commentary from the shiur classes of Ratzvi Aryeh Rosenfeld. This was a Yid who was teaching Breslov in America, teaching Tosfos in America before most people even had heard what it was. Way ahead of the curve. Very interesting, interesting person. If you would have seen him, you would have never a million years walked past him, never thought he was a Breslover. Looked like a, you know, like, I don't know, Pashadei Yid. Like a businessman, Pashadei guy. Right? But he was a very serious student of Rabbi Nachman and taught Rabbi Nachman to Tzvi Aryeh Rosenfeld. Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Okay, so this comes from his shurim, again as edited and compiled by Rabbi Shlomo Katz Shlita. He has a beautiful ha'ar here. He says, "Now we see this as fact when we go to the core of evil." Look at source number two. We see this as fact when we go to the core of evil, the Satan himself, who is called by the name Samach Mem. Right? Chazal revealed to us, it's not only in Kabbalistic sources, it's in Midrashic sources, that the name of the Satan, the name of the Sitra Achra, the name of the Yetzer Hara, whatever you want to call it, the name of the Malach HaMaves, however exactly you want to refer to it, his name is Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. We usually call him the Samach Mem, or the Sam. We don't pronounce the entire name, as we don't by many Malachim. Explains Rav Tzvi Aryeh Rosenfeld, he's called Samach Mem because the word Samach Mem means poison. Sam, what's Sam? Sam is poison. Venom. But the last two letters of his name spell Kel. The last two letters of his name, Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. Like every Malach. Like Raphael, Michael, Gabriel. So this is the Sam Kel. Interesting. So what is he? What's his deal? He has the letter Aleph Lamed just as every angel, Gabriel, Michael, etc. have the letters Kel at the end of their name. This shows that even the Satan, who is the essence of evil in existence, who is the leader of all the evil angels, he too has a right side. The Yetzer Hara, something we learned a lot last year in the Avodas Yisrael, the Yetzer Hara is actually a Malach in disguise. His job is to play the most poisonous, venomous, evil, negative being in the world. But he's also really a Malach Hashem Tzavakos. Right? The Yetzer Hara, the Malach Mavis, he's on Hashem's team. His job is never to reveal his true identity, that he's actually a messenger of Hashem. His job is to destroy you. That's what he's paid to do. Strange job. But he also has Aleph and Lamed in his name because he's deeply connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, I'm going to say a remez that I know some of you know, but for those who don't know it, how could I not say it? Let's go back to Parshas Noach for a minute since we're talking about this. It's Kedai to go back. Nalach's Teva is an example of trying to extract some of the holiness, some of the goodness from a world that is completely evil and falling apart. That's what we're learning. Right? We're learning that there's a sense of yashrus, a sense of goodness, even when everything looks broken. Rabbi Nachman always had that perspective to find the good, to find the nekudos tovos. Zamra lelokai ba'odi, right? Find the od ma'at ve'in rasha. Find the little bit that's still wholesome. So when Noach built his boat, Noach took from whatever wholesomeness he could find in the world to try to what? To try to build his boat. The pasuk says, "Ki mala ha'aretz chamas." HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very angry at the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to bring a mabul on the world. The world was filled with chamas. What does it mean the world was filled with chamas? So listen to this amazing idea. It comes from, different tzaddikim have said it and have elaborated on it. I think it first comes from a tzaddik named Reb Leib Saras. Reb Leib Saras. Some of the tzaddikim were called, right, they were called, Leib Saras means Leib, the son of Sarah. It's an early Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. Sometimes you'll see it in English, like Rabbi Leib Saras. Right? Saras is really Saras. Saras means the Saras kid. Saras child. Reb Leib Saras. So Reb Leib Saras said the following. And again, other tzaddikim have elaborated on it. There's a lot of components, but I'll tell you the basic nekuda. It's a very gevaldik remez. The evil in the world is primarily identified with two beings. One we just met, Samach, Mem, Aleph, and Lamed. And the other one is the Nachash. Let's go back to Gan Eden. Where does it all begin? Who destroyed the world? The Nachash. Nachash HaKadmoni. The Nachash in Gan Eden. So, we just learned, and we're in the middle of learning, that in the name Samach Mem Aleph and Lamed, the Sam, so to speak, is the bad part of this Malach, of this Yetzer Hara, of this Sitra Achra, of the Satan. And the Aleph Lamed, which of course is part of Hashem's name, is Hashem's name, is the good part. The Nachash also has a bad part and a good part. The Pasuk says, and we know it from just, you know, nature, but Chazal say it, the Pasuk elaborates, Pasuk elaborates on it, right? That the Nachash spits his poison between his teeth. So the Vilna Gaon explains, look at the word Nachash. The two outer letters of Nachash are Nun and Shin. Shin, which means teeth. The Ches in the middle is, so to speak, the poison. The letter Ches is one of the most negative letters. Ches is a Lashon of Chet. Chazal often associate Ches with a negative energy. The month of Tammuz, which is the most Midas Hadin month in the calendar year. Every month has a corresponding letter. The letter for the month of Tammuz is the letter Ches. Okay? The letter Ches is a very negative letter. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Right? Go through all the Shvatim. You're not going to find the letter Ches. You're not going to find the letter Tes. Because those are letters of Chet.
What about Chaim?
What did you say?
Chaim.
Okay, awesome. Good.
Chaim.
Good. I can say a lot of good things. How about Yitzchak? Right? One of the Avos had a Ches in his name. But the Avos, the Shvatim didn't have the letter Ches in their name. They didn't have the letter Tes in their name. That's why when Yaakov Avinu was on his deathbed, and all of a sudden his Nevuah leaves him, and he says, "Oi, maybe my children are sinners." So the Baal Turim explains, Rabbi Chassidus elaborate, that he looks at his children's names, and he sees there's no Ches, there's no Tes, there's no Chet. They're free of sin. Okay. Deep idea. So what are the bad letters of the two major kochos of negativity in the world? You have the Ches of the Nachash, which represents the poison of the Nachash. And then you have what? The Samach and the Mem of Samach, Mem, Aleph, and Lamed. So if you put it together, what do you got? Hashem looks at the world and he sees Hamas. Right? The world is nothing other than Hamas. The world is really, really broken. So he says to Noach, I want you to take the goodness that remains and build yourself a safe haven. A safe space. A place where you can what? Where you can survive the mabul of the world. And he goes ahead and he builds what? A teva. What are the dimensions of the teva? How long was the teva? 300 amos. That's the shin of the Nachash. How wide is the teva? 50. That's the nun. That's the nun of the Nachash. How tall is the teva? How tall is it? No, the 8 is the bad. The 8 is the poison of the snake. We're taking the good parts. How tall is the Teva?
75,
31. 30. Teva was 30 amos tall. That's the lamed of Samach Mem Aleph and Lamed. And what do you do with the Aleph?
One window, one stone.
Better, can do better.
One person.
What does it say? What does the pasuk say? The El Ama Tichalena Milamala. And it should have a one Ama point on top. So the Teva was built out of the Aleph and the Lamed and the Nun and the Shin, the good letters of the Nachash and the Samach Mem. Because Hashem looked at the world and he saw the world was Hamas. He saw that the bad letters were dominating. And Hashem says, if the world's going to operate that way, it's not going to work. But Noach was able, so to speak, to pick through the rubble of the world to take, so to speak, the good animals that remained and to take the good people that remained and to try to what? To believe in the possibility of starting over. And again, it was a complicated starting over. Noach went through a lot of emotional turmoil, right, drinking away his sorrows after getting off the boat. Right? But the point that we're trying to make here is that what, even in the Samach Mem, even in the Nachash, there's positivity. So says Rav Tzvi Aryeh Rosenfeld. Therefore, the Tikkuni Zohar says that eventually the angel of death, that is the Samach Mem, that is the Satan, will be slaughtered by Hashem. It's a Gemara, it's not only Tikkuni Zohar. We know it from the Gemara at the end of Maseches Sukkah. In the fifth parak of Sukkah, it says that Hashem is going to shech the Yetzirah. We see this in Chad Gadiah, right? At the end of the Seder, what do we say? What does Hashem do to the Malach HaMavis? Also, Kadosh Baruch Hu v'shachat l'malach hamavis. What a strange way to describe ridding the world of evil. Shechting the malach hamavis? Why is Hashem shechting? So Tzvi Aryeh Rosenfeld said a very deep Torah. Slaughtered means to use a knife to cut something in half. How will Hashem cut the angel in half? Why not just stab him? Cutting him in half means cutting off the evil part from the good. Cutting off the letters Samach Mem, which is the evil, the Sam, cutting away the poison, so to speak. And there will remain that drop of good that is contained even within the Satan. That's what it means to shech the Satan. It means to get rid of, to drive away that negativity and to allow that sense of yosher, that sense of holiness inside to emerge. I was zochet this morning to be at the bris of Yaakov Yeshaya Reiner. Kishem shenichlas lebris, ki nichanas l'tor l'chup l'masim tov. Amen. So, what do you do at a bris? What you do at a bris is that you believe that somewhere beneath the arla, somewhere beneath the foreskin, right, is what we call the os bris kodesh. Somehow the deepest connection to Hashem, which is in a certain sense manifest through the blood of the bris, right, whether it's Avram's bris or every baby boy's bris, that relationship, that deep, unbreakable bond that is forged at the bris, right, is only extracted from beneath what? From beneath an arla, which represents a tremendous tumah, a tremendous negativity, a tremendous klipa, right? A tremendous covering, a blockage of that holiness. But at a bris, what we're saying is that we believe that whatever blockage you're going to encounter in life, whatever is going to stop you from getting to Hashem, it's possible to cut that away. Even the satan, the samach mem, you can cut it away, and you can bring what? You can bring out the holiness with it. It's a gevaldik thing. I'll tell you a sweet Torah from the Vilna Gaon. We say, Naharos yebcha'u kaf yachad harim yiraneinu. You recognize this pasuk? Tilim tzadiches. Sound familiar? Well, Shabbos. Naharos yebcha'u kaf. The rivers will clap hands. Rabbi Nachman has a lot of Torahs about clapping hands. You know what's so chash about clapping hands? You tell me now. You're bringing together the right and the left. What does it mean, Naharos yebcha'u kaf? What are we doing with clap hands? We're showing that there's a chibur, that there's a relationship between the tzad of chesed and the tzad of din. Right? There's a connection between ava and yira, between chesed and gvura. Right? They can come together. Says the Gra, in one of the collections that we have from the Vilna Gaon, Maseches Brachos, the Gra writes in Brachos Daf Lamed Amud Beis, Ki asimcha hi yichud yaminu smola. What is true simcha? Why do we bring our hands? It's such an interesting thing. When you're happy, you clap. Why? Why is clapping associated with happiness? Right? Why is clappiness... clappiness. Why is clapping associated... It's a great word. Why is clappiness associated with happiness? Yeah? When else does a person clap? Sometimes a person claps in a moment of sorrow also. Right? When a person's in pain, sometimes clap. Right? A person hears bad news, oi! Sometimes you clap hands. Right? You clap hands. We had in the Chumash. The whole story with the death of Cain, with Lemech, and he clapped his hands and he killed, right? when he heard the bad news that he had already killed one person, he clapped his hands and killed another person. So why is clapping associated primarily with intense joy, sometimes with intense sadness? The answer is to remind us that what? That real joy is the realization that the left and the right are not actually as far apart as we imagine them to be. That means in my moments of great joy, right, I temper it with a little bit of left side, or I remind myself that real joy is when what I'm able to show how the left side can join together with the right side. When I'm in a lot of pain, I remind myself that even the left will eventually be zocha to enter into the right. Says the Vilna Gaon, ki asimcha hi yichud yamina usmola, the combination, the unification of right and left, and that's naharos yimcha uchaf. V'zeu svikas kapayim b'shas simcha. This is the Indian of clapping at a time of joy. Uperish apasuk ki yesh mayim ra'im umayim misukim. The naharos, the different waters. Some waters are very delightful to drink. Some waters are not palatable, are not potable. Ulaasid yirpo kolamayim balasid lavo. The waters are all going to come together. Right? All the waters, the naharos yimcha kaf. Vizel yimcho kaf, the waters, the right river and the left river, so to speak, will once again unite. And that's an expression of tremendous joy, of finding that goodness and that sweetness within what appears to be negative at times. Okay, turn over to the second side. I want to learn two more Torahs together. A Kedusha Slavi from the Holy Berditchever and an Imre Noam from the Rebbe of Jikov. Two very, very sweet Torahs. Again, there's a lot to say about this Indian of trying to extract the goodness and get to the yashrus within negativity. But just two Torahs that come to mind. One is from this past week's Parsha, and the other one is just a really deep one that I like a lot. Okay? So first, the Berditchever from this past week's Parsha. We know the Gemara, we spoke about it many times, we spoke about it on Sunday, for those who are here. Right? The Gemara in Pesachim, that when Avram is given the bracha of Ve'ezcha l'goy gadol, that refers to Elokei Avram. Va'ava rechecha, that refers to Elokei Yitzchak. Va'agad l'shamecha, that's what we say in Shemona Esrei, Elokei Yaakov. How do we end the bracha? Do we say Magen Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov? No, we say Magen Avraham. Because the Torah says, Avraham was told, Veheye bracha, you are the bracha, Becha Choisman, you're the chasima. We end the bracha with you, Avraham. We mention each in the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak Yaakov, but we end Magen Avraham. Says the Kedusha Slavi in the second paragraph in source number 5. Ki ne ye shlosha midos, asher habore baruchu misnag behem kol olamos. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov represent three different ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu directs the world. V'hei midas ava, u'midas hagvura, u'midas hatiferes. Avram Avinu is ava, Yitzchak is gvura, Yaakov is the balance, is tiferes. V'hinei kesha HaKadosh Baruch Hu misnaig bebrua v'midas ava. When Hashem interacts with us and we feel Hashem's love, az kol ha'olamos hei maleim kol tov. When Hashem is in Ahava mode, whatever that means, right, then all of the world is filled with a sense of tov, a sense of goodness. And when God interacts with the world, we feel that the world is suffering, midas hagvura, midas hadin, then we feel it's the opposite. It's the opposite of good. Remember, Ditchver doesn't even want to say the word bad. So, the opposite of good. U'kishabore baruchu misnaig bebrua b'midas hatiferes. And when Hashem runs the world the way that Yaakov's Midah is Tiferes, that represents a certain balance, Az gam kein hei maleim kol tov, the world is filled with a lot of good, ki be'emes tachlis Midas Tiferes hu ava, because primarily in the essence, the goal of Tiferes is primarily ava, right? Yaakov is more like Avraham than he is like Yitzchak. Ki Midas Tiferes hu masha boris baruch mispar atzmo kiviyachol bebruav. Tiferes is HaKadosh Baruch Hu displaying his grandeur over his creations. Al yedeza yisor midas ha'ava lashpia lahem kol tov. Tiferes is also, it's primarily Ava-based, but it's also a display of Hashem's power, so it has a little bit of a mix of Ava and a little bit of Gevura. Now, says Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, v'hinei midas ha'gevura, afal pi shu nirashu lehefech mimidas ha'ava. Even though it looks, when the hands are apart, it looks like the right and the left, right? Literally, the parts of the body that you can stretch the farthest away from each other. And yet, at the same time, they can also, in a unique way, be brought together, right? It would be hard for me to bring together, I don't know, my left You know, my left ear and my right baby toe. But my two hands, which could be so far apart, I could also bring them together. So says the Berdichever, Midas HaGvura, even though it seems to be the opposite of Ava, Ki Chas V'Shalom Lefamim Hu Oseh Din Ba'olam, sometimes there's tremendous Midas HaDin in the world, says the Berdichever, where it's bolded, Afal Pichein Tachlisa Hi Ava. Midas HaDin is never because Hashem hates us. Suffering in this world is not because Hashem hates us. Difficulties and setbacks, obstacles in life is not because Hashem hates us. Rabbi Nachman has a very famous Torah about this in Likutei Moharan. The people stood from a distance and Moshe approached the dark cloud of Har Sinai to get the Torah. Don't run away. When you see a dark cloud, keep pushing ahead. Don't run away. Get the help that you need to be able to conquer those dark clouds. The tachlis of the gvura in the world is Ava. Kamosha Amru. Chavrei Iov l'Iov, like Iov's friend said to Iov, V'hoya reishischa mitzar, v'achrischa yiskem od. Even though your beginning is very painful, the end is going to be very, very successful. Hang tight. Don't give up. Try to maintain your faith. Do what you can. Take good care of yourself. Ki ikr midas ha-gvura lasos lefamim chas v'shalom din ba'olam. Because even though, again, gvura manifests itself as midas ha-din in the world, but its purpose is kedei she'achar kach yushba kol tov. It paves the way. It's demolishing an old building in order to what? Oh my gosh, what a chorban. You're knocking down buildings. Well, I'm knocking it down and clearing the area to be able to build something more beautiful in its place. So sometimes, yeah, sometimes we have to knock down our old self in order to build up a more beautiful, a more wholesome self. People who struggle in this world and are able to work on overcoming those struggles or navigating those struggles, right, become stronger people than people who've never been challenged in this world. That's just a fact of life. L'fum tzara agra. I'm not wishing anyone any pain. Not physical, not emotional, not mental. But that's just part of the reality of life. That's how it goes. Ukamosha Nacham Ish Gamzu. Nacham Ish Gamzu, lo aleinu, suffered horribly. He suffered, his body was so sickly, the Gemara tells us. And nonetheless, he still was able to say about Kol Mikra Sher Kara Lo, everything that happened to him, he was always able to say, Gam Zu Latova. Even though I'm sitting in my personal Gehenim, Gam Zu Latova. If I remember correctly, Gam Zu Latova is Gematria Gehenim. He was able to say, Gam Zu Latova, when he was sitting in hell, he was sitting in a personal hell. He was suffering horribly. His life was a living hell. And yet he always maintained his faith, Gam Zu Latova. Even this is good. Right? Not that afterwards it'll become good. Even this, Gamzu, even this is good. Not eventually I'll get a great reward because I'm suffering now. This stinks, but eventually it'll be good. No, Gamzu Latova. Right now, this is good. Even though, again, most people would have said it's not good. It appeared not good. In the end, it always emerges as good. We're able to see that the tachlis of what? Of the gvura was Ava. So says the Berdichever, look at the last four lines. V'hine yadua she'avram romez al midas Ava. Ava chesed is the midah of Avram Avinu. Yitzchak is gvura. Yaakov is midas teferes. Maybe we should end the bracha Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Hashem says, no. The end of the bracha is who? Magen Avraham. Because the punchline, chevra, is what? The punchline is chesed, and the punchline is Ava. The journey along the way has Ava, and it has Gvura, and it has Tiferes. It also has Netzach and Hod and Yesod and Malchus. It has a lot of things. It has right side and it has left side. It has good days and it has bad days. But the punchline, the Chasima, the bottom line is, Becha Chosman, the bottom line is, says the Berdichever in the last line, Klomar, Tachlis HaTiferes VaGvura, Hu Rak Shis Oer Midas HaAva. All the Gvura moments in your life, the Tiferes moments of your life, are somehow moving us towards Ava. It takes a big person to be able to say that, or even to believe that, all the more so to feel that and to live that. And I'm not saying that you're failing if you can't feel that. Nachum Ish Gamzu was able to somehow do it. It's superhuman to us. Rabbi Akiva was somehow able to say, Kol da'avid rachmana le'tav avid. Everything God does is tav, is good. It's superhuman. I would never judge a person who went through difficulties or suffering, right, and felt broken by that. There were Jews who came out of the Holocaust and abandoned their faith. There were Jews who came out with greater emunah in Hashem. It's not a simple sugya. I'm not trying to make a vart out of it and say, you know, like, oh, it's just so easy, just like everything's good. and Hashem loves you. I believe that that's true. Sometimes it takes beyond life in this world till a person understands how that's so. You may go 120 years never realizing why the difficulties that you had in life were in fact somehow, in some roundabout way, a bracha in disguise. You may never be able to rationalize that. But a little bit we have to know that it's true. And even if the midah of Yosher is delayed and delayed and delayed, like we learned in Sichas Aran, eventually it will emerge. Yes, Ashi. The gematria of
Oy.
Aleph Vav Yod is the same as Tov, 17.
And then one of my favorite quotes from Mary Oliver is that someone I loved once gave me a box full of darkness. It took me years to understand that this too was a gift.
Huh?
So then, right now it's hard.
Right?
And it still also might be hard after that.
Right?
But eventually.
That's right. Eventually. Eventually. Beautiful. It's a beautiful line. Okay, let's look at the final source together. The Imre Noam, the Heilige Rebbe of Jikov, of Meir Jikover. This is a beautiful Torah. Bo El Paro. Okay? Let's actually confront one of our enemies. We keep saying, you know, we're not going to go there. Let's go there. Let's get in Paro's face. Bo El Paro. Hashem says, go to Paro. Or come to Paro. Right? And Rashi says, V'hisra bo, to warn him about the impending Makos. Chevi, this is a beautiful Torah. Please look inside. The final source. Yesh lefarish al pi masha pirashti b'tu. And I actually typed this one up myself. So I put in an extra mailis on your behalf. So please, I want you to enjoy. Yesh lefarish al pi masha pirashti b'tfilas Rabbi Nechunya. We can explain based on the explanation that I offered elsewhere about Ana B'Koach, the tefillah of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. Ana B'Koach gedulas yimincha tatir tzura. Hainu. The pasuk says in Eicha, "Mi pi elyon, from the one above, lo teitzei haraos, no bad comes." So how do I understand bad in this world? Well, some of that bad is people. Right? People made choices. People had free will and they made bad choices. They made destructive choices. Mi pi elyon lo teitzei haraos. Bad does not come from the one above. And the tzaddikim tell us that all of midas hadin is actually filled. The pnimius of it is chesed. The inside of it is chesed. Right? If you can crack it open, you can look inside, you'll see that it's chesed inside. We learned a very similar idea in the Eish Kodesh. That sometimes on the surface, right? Remember, Le'enei Kol Yisrael Bereishis? Remember that piece? Le'enei Kol Yisrael. I want that my eyes should see Bereishis at the beginning how it's good. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait till the end of my life to see how it's good. I want to see it now. So unfortunately, our physical eyes are not able to see it. But we're mevakesh, achan mevakshim ki ein banu koach lisbol hadin, and we say to Hashem, but I can't bear the suffering. Valkein heranu Hashem chasdecha. So we ask Hashem, please. Reveal to us. Show us your chesed. Shagam le'inenu yamole chasadim belishum tarovas din klal. Help me to see how it's really all chesed and it's not midas hadin at all. So, chever, what does that have to do with anu b'koach? Look what he writes, second paragraph. Vezeu anu b'koach gedulas yemincha. Anu b'koach gedulas yemincha. Yemincha is chesed, the right side. Hainu. Shekol en yanim shein b'koach uvegvura. Ana, please Hashem, b'koach, all the things of koach, all the midas hadin, all of the gvura. Gedulas yemincha, I know it's really the biggest chesed in disguise. B'pnimiyas shalahem heim b'chinas yemin shu chesed. I know that inside there's chesed. V'af shale'einenu yisra shem tzat b'chinas din. And even though my physical eyes, my physical sensations tell me that you don't like me, Hashem, that this is midas hadin, that you're punishing me, im kol zeh, Tsarur v'tzafun besocho, wrapped up, hidden inside, right? Buried inside, behind those dark clouds, is Kabbalah Satorah. Under that arla is what? Is that bris, is that covenant that a baby boy seals with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's always hiding. Behind the walls is where a Kodesh Baruch Hu is found. Hashem is watching from behind the walls, peering through the latticework. Meitzitz min acharakim, like it says in the Pasuk. So hidden, wrapped up inside, tzafun, hidden inside, is a koach of chesed that's kulo tov. And therefore, what do we daven? Ana b'koach, please Hashem. the bekalach, all of the things that hurt. Gedulas yamincha, tatir tsrura. Tatir tsrura. Tatir means what? Matir asurim. Untie. Untie the bundle. Open the package. Right? Part the dark cloud so I can see that you're on the other side of those dark clouds. Shetiftach hatsrura besoch hashem chasadim. Untie that knot so I can finally see what's inside. Shegam le'inei basar yirusha kol chesed. I want to see that it's really all chesed inside. I believe it. I know it's true. My heart of hearts, I know it. But I don't see it with my eyes and it hurts me. And I can't take it anymore. So please, Hashem, open the package. Ana b'kalach gedulas mincha tatir sura. Open it up. So he says in the final paragraph, v'hinei yadua, it is known to us from very deep sources, the Zohar Chadash and the Pardes Rimonim, Kabbalistic sources, Asher ha'alef beis, im heim biyosher, meramzim lachasadim. When you have letters of the alef beis in their proper order, alef beis, gimel, dalet, right? Ana, bekoach, gedulas, alef beis, gimel, ana, bekoach, gedulas. When things are straight, it's good. That's a sign of chesed. Ulehefech b'tashrak, when the letters are backwards, tof, shin, resh, kof, that's Marames to Midas Hadin. That's a sign of Midas Hadin. That's why the month of Midas Hadin, when we're standing in judgment before Hashem, is called Tishrei. It starts off totally backwards. Tav, Shin, Resh. It's the letters of the alphabet going backwards. What the Yud is a good question. Yud might have to do with the tshuva that we do in Tishrei. Yud might be the hope, the light within Tishrei, whatever it may be. So why are backwards letters considered negative and why are forward-moving letters considered positive? Well, I'll give you a very simple mashal. Right? If you have a bank account, which direction do you want your bank account to go? Up or down? Right? You want to go from Aleph to Beis, from $1 to $2 to $3 to $4 to $5? You want to go from $400 to $300 to $200? Obviously, you want to see an increase. So the same thing is true about the Hebrew letters. When you're going from Aleph to Beis to Gimel to Dalet, that means what? That means your stock is rising. Right? That means that there's an enhancement of a quality of life. When the letters are going backwards, Ha'osios nismatim v'holchem, the letters are, so to speak, shrinking. V'hem b'chinas simtzum. It's constricting, it's contracting. Right? And that can be painful. V'zesh yesh l'rameis. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, ready for this? Look at this. Bo el paro. Beis aleph to paro. Bo el paro. Ki tevas bo merameis al dinim. When you go from a beis back to an aleph, right? Goes from a beis to an aleph, that's a sign of midas hadin. Sha beis kodim la aleph. If the beis comes before aleph, that's a bechina of tashrak. That's the expression of tof shin resh kof. That's letters going backwards. And yet, look at this. Bo el paro, ach lehizgalus einei basar nira shem dinim. Bo, it looks like beis back to aleph, el paro. What is paro? So you have to know another code. He says, Paro is a lashon of Piroa Aharon. Anyone's bar mitzvah parsha? Kisisa? Piroa Aharon. Look at the pasuk in footnote 2. Vayar Moshe sa'am ki paruahu. Ki Piroa Aharon l'shimtsu b'kamehem. Moshe saw that the people, by the Chet Ha'egel, are what? Are letting loose. Are out of control. Rashi says that Parua is a lashon of Megula. That their disgrace had been displayed, put on display. It's one thing to have certain negative thoughts in your mind and your heart. It's another thing to actually go create a chet ha'egel, to create a golden calf, an egel azav. Right? So Moshe sees that what? That everything's on display. So bo el paro, what's on display, chevra, in life? Paro means revelation. Feroa means revelation. Right? After we do a bris milah, we do priya. We peel back the skin to reveal a little bit more of the aver of the bris, the makom habris. So paro means revelation. So bo el paro, what does life sometimes appear to us to be? Beis back to aleph. Everything is diminishing in quality. Everything is going backwards. Shu lashon hizgalus. But what does the pasuk say? Aval be'emes, continues the pasuk. Ki ani hechbadeti es libo. But really, says the Imre Noam, Hichbadeti aslibo. What is hichbadeti? Pasha pshat hardened his heart. On a deeper pshat, ani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo. Melubash besochu b'pnimiuso. But I'm really there. Don't be fooled by what your eyes see. Lo sasur achrei levavchem. Don't stray after your eyes. Don't see things superficially. I'm telling you, says Hashem, I'm there. Shebesoch adinim upnimiusam shorah kedushas elokei olam. Hashem says, I'm there every step of the way. So how do you see that in the words, ki ani hichbadati as libo? Ani, Hashem says, I hichbadati. Hichbadati, he says, is the lashon of levush. Where do we find that clothing are called, that clothes, that garments are called kavod? The Gemara says in Shabbos, Kofir Gimel, that Rabbi Yochanan kara lemane machabdusa. Rabbi Yochanan called his mane, his begadim, he called them his kavod. Clothing makes the man. Clothing gives honor to a person. A person without clothing is embarrassed and ashamed, like Adam and Chav and Gan Eden. So Rabbi Yochanan called his clothing his honor, a display of his honor. So ani hechbadeti aslibo means what? That I am enclosed in his heart. On the surface you see midas hadin, you see beis going back to aleph, you see life falling apart. That's a lot of what your physical eyes are going to see. But look deeper, because if you look deeper, ani hechbadeti aslibo. I am clothed, I am hiding beneath the surface. I'm there. Shashem yisbarach ba'atzmo malbish b'soch adinim. Right? Just peel off the top layer and you'll see that Hashem is hiding behind the wall. V'zeo eslibo, merami zal pnimius hachasadim. In there in his heart, in the heart of even the paro, right, is a sense of yosher, like Rabbi Nachman taught us. And that's what Rashi is hinting to. When Rashi says, again, it's obviously not Pashup Shat, not even close, but B'derech Hasidus, you could say, Bo El Paro, what does Rashi say? What does Rashi say? V'hisrobo, and warn him. But says the Imre Noam, Hisrobo means, Hainu Alderech Tatir Tzrura. Ana B'kal Chedula Simincha, Hashem, please, Tatir Tzrura, open things up. So Hashem says to Moshe, have the courage, Bo El Paro, confront things that Paro that appear to you to be Beis back to Allah, that appear to be Midas Adin. Right? But Hisrubo, dedicate your life to what? Unlocking those things. Open them up. Tatir Tzura, open the package. Ki agam shonam aminam asher meyitolo teitzei aros. Uvipnimus kolach dvarim hu ach tov achazet. Even though we all know it's true that behind the dark clouds is what? Is a rainbow. Like Hashem promised Noach after destroying the world. Im kol zeh anu mevakshim shetatir hatzror besocho. That we should be able to see it with our own eyes. And again, that's that sense of chesed and ava that's always within. Rabbi Nachman taught us yosher, that sense of yosher, even by someone who you think, this guy is just, he's no good. This person is an evil person. Rabbi Nachman says, look a little deeper. There's no human being on the planet. There's no human being on the planet. There's no one who HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustains life within that doesn't have a positive midah. Learn from everyone. Right? Be inspired by everyone. Find that goodness in everyone. Ezu chacham halomei mikol adam. Even from a rasha. Look a little bit deeper. And Amir Tzashem, we should be zochet to what? To greet Mashiach with lots of clapping. In the right hand and the left hand, unite once and for all. Chesed and Gvura. United. Ava and Gvura. Midas Hadin and Midas Ha'ava come together. Okay, we should be zochet to see it with our eyes. Not only know it in our hearts, we should see it with our eyes. Shkoyach. Tomorrow's halacha shiur, actually, we're going to...